ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication.
This is the Quality News Network. The CIA operative who was at the heart of the leak scandal appeared before a House committee today. Valerie Plame said that the top White House and State Department officials blew her cover to discredit her diplomat husband. She accused them of doing that carelessly and recklessly. In Washington, the controversy over the fired eight U.S. attorneys continues as the White House is now backing away from earlier comments by White House spokesman Tony Snow that then White House counsel Harriet Myers first brought up the idea of firing them. Emails, which became public yesterday evening, reveal that White House political advisor Karl Rove played a role in the discussions. In addition to the five Army brigades that are on their way to Iraq as part of the troop surge, the top U.S. commander there, General David Petraeus, is requesting another Army brigade, specifically a combat aviation unit. This, along with another boost in support personnel, would increase the overall numbers in the troop surge from the original 21,500 up to 30,000 forces. Monday marks the fourth anniversary of the start of the Iraq War. President Bush met with the panel today, which will look into the problems at U.S. military health facilities. The bipartisan committee is headed by former Republican Senator Bob Dole and former Clinton Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala. An FBI cautionary bulletin to police across the U.S. warns that foreign national members of extremist groups have signed up to be school bus drivers or have bought school buses. However, an FBI spokesman said there is no reason for concern and parents and children have nothing to fear. Iran's president has requested a visa so that he can visit the United Nations. The U.S. State Department has approved the request. Members of the Security Council are deciding on additional sanctions against Iran for its failure to halt its nuclear program. In Gaza today, a U.N. convoy with the head of the U.N. Relief and Works Agency came under fire. There were no injuries reported. In downtown Islamabad, thousands of protesters were confronted by police today. They were upset over the Pakistani president's decision to suspend the country's chief justice. In Rio de Janeiro, over the past 8 days, 12 police officers have been killed. There is an investigation underway. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
A large fire on a railroad trestle in Sacramento last night has disrupted passenger and freight traffic along the main Northern California east-west route for Amtrak and Union Pacific. The latest winter storm on the East Coast has forced JetBlue to cancel 215 flights. The National Weather Service expects 3 to 6 inches of snow and sleet in the New York area. A federal judge ruled today that the U.S. tobacco companies cannot market light or low-tar cigarettes abroad as being less harmful to a smoker's health. The companies are already banned from making those claims in the U.S. A new study finds that playing certain video games, such as those that involve firing guns, can improve the user's eyesight. The Federal Reserve reported that factory mine and utility production increased by 1% in February. The rebound followed a drop in industrial output in January. Walmart has abruptly decided to drop its plan to apply for a banking charter. The FDIC said the decision was a, quote, wise choice. Japan's number three automaker Nissan is shaking up its management team. The CEO will give up his role in overseeing U.S. operations. Light sweet crude is trading at $57.11 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 49 points, the Nasdaq down 6. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
I think one bad mistake that I can really see, and that was...
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, 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 one and all. I'm Brother Bob. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. And, of course, you know what that means. It's Wednesday, after all, and Wednesday is a very special time here at Head On.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
You know, I know there are a lot of talk hosts out there, and, you know, Randi Rhodes, for instance, bless her heart, she has a thing she does on Wednesdays or on Fridays, rather, with what I assume is an old Ethel Merman song, or it sounds like Ethel Merman, I don't know. But, you know, for me, I honest to God, I think Wednesday is my favorite evening, my favorite program. And from the responses I get, it's a favorite for a lot of you as well. Because we do something here on Wednesdays that very few progressives and absolutely zero conservatives, because they're all, you know, marching lockstep to the authoritarian beat. We do something that very few people have the nerve to do, and that is to criticize the religion industry. We criticize the Dobsons, the Falwells. We criticize D. James Kennedy of the Coral Snake Ministry somewhere in the fetid swamp in Florida. We dare do this because it is the right thing to do, because these goons are trying to take over our government. And, you know, why does anybody else get a pass? I mean, why do they get a pass when no one else does? We hammer Republicans. We hammer Republicans regularly. It's my job, pointing out facts and exposing their lies is literally my job. So too then, and I guess I come to this with a certain special dedication from my years in the Southern Baptist Church. I'm, of course, a recovering Southern Baptist. And like any similar problem, I will be recovering for the rest of my days. Because some of the filth and hate and torment that went down there will take literally a lifetime to shed. But, you know, for me, I don't like him much, but there's a reference, I think, somewhere along the way that where Saul of Tarsus says it was as if scales fell away from his eyes. Well, that's what happened to me. And I grew up and I grew out of the racism and the bigotry and the hate and the intolerance that is the stock in trade of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'll have no part of it. So, you know, that's what these Wednesdays are about. And we've always, you know, Wednesdays I save. I might have a good religion story on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday, but I'll save them as best I can, unless it's absolutely just burning a hole in my hip pocket. I'll save it for Wednesday prayer meeting edition. And you guys are really good to catch these things on the fly, too, and ship them to me. And I do appreciate that. Now, this evening, we've got a very special guest coming aboard, journalist and editor at Creative Loafing magazine. John Sugg will be joining us presently, God willing. John Sugg is the author of a recent article entitled Public Stoning, Not Just for the Taliban Anymore. Mr. Sugg has burrowed into the belly of the beast, literally, getting a really, really up close and personal view of a dangerous, and I don't mean dangerous in a sort of the ephemeral sense. I mean literally dangerous to the social and political structure of our nation. Sect or belief system that calls itself Christian Reconstructionism. And no, they're not some weird little cult like David Koresh off in Waco or the Jim Jones in Guyana. These people have insinuated their tentacles into the very hearts of the halls of power in this country. And they are a big part of why, they're a big part of what is wrong with the Republican Party. They're at least 50%, the other 50% being utter, complete control by corporatists. Christian Reconstructionists don't give a tinker's damn about whether a man works 40 hours or 90 hours a week. They don't care what happens to his wife, as long as they follow the antiquated rules set down by a supposed God that was apparently all worked up, well, about all kinds of bizarre things like wearing mixed fabrics and which days thou mayst pick up a rock from the ground and, you know, similar other hooey. Hooey. Please, hooey. This is a family program. Not going to use any of the other stuff. But they are as great a... Well, certainly Christian Reconstructionism is a greater threat to the United States of America right now than anything Osama bin Laden could attempt or succeed at. So, here in a little bit, we'll be talking with John Sugg about his endeavors to expose these monstrous hypocrites. These what do you want to call them? Christo-fascists? I mean, if George Bush can say Islamo-fascists, I mean, these guys really, really fit the mold. These are people who literally say that people who don't have sex the way they think other people should have sex should be, you know, not taken out and shot, not have their throats slit, not be hung, electrocuted, or poison gassed, or you know, with the needle and the horizontal crucifixion and no, they want to take them out and throw rocks at them till they die. No kidding. And they are listened to seriously in circles that when we talk about it with Mr. Sugg, you will be absolutely horrified to realize the influence these people have should turn your bowels to water and make you sit bolt upright in the middle in bed in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., with an ice-cold sweat pouring down your head. Because they aim to kill you. Given their opportunity, they would kill me, my lovely wife, and my entire family stone dead. These are the most dangerous people in America today. And like I said, God willing, here in a little bit, we'll talk with John Sugg about it. Now, where some of this is concerned, I figure by the time you get to this part of the day, you've heard the better part. You know, you've heard the news, but do you know the rest of the story? I don't do Paul Harvey. Seriously. So I figure we can look at some of the other stuff that might have slipped by the scope, as it were, flown under the radar. Among other things, I mentioned a little bit ago, D. James Kennedy. You can see him pontificating on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. God, why did I just give those SOBs a plug? See what happens? He's there, and he's got the flowing robes and the magnificence, and our brothers and sisters. Well, you know what he came out and said? You know what he's done? He's a movie producer now, just like Jethro Bodine. I was just over on the Brando lot. You know what they got over there, Uncle Jed? Motivation. They got it by the truckload. That's what we need over here, Uncle Jed's motivation. Nah, he's a movie producer now, and, you know, not just any movie. D. James Kennedy and his good buddies at the Coral Snake Ministries have produced a television documentary. And it tries to link Charles Darwin's theory of evolution to Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust. Do you see where these sleazy religion thugs, these street punks with a Bible in their hand, are trying to take America? Among other things, they are liars because they got hold of a person by the name of Dr. Francis Collins. Dr. Collins is director of the National Human Genome Research Institute for the National Institutes of Health. And they used him as part of their sick little documentary called Darwin's Deadly Legacy. And the Anti-Defamation League, whose national director is a gentleman by the name of Abraham H. Foxman, who gets it, by the way. Now, he and I would likely be on completely opposite sides of the street over whether or not it's okay to drop bombs on babies in Beirut. But he gets it where this is concerned. He has said in the past that he understands that evangelical right-wing fundamentalist so-called Christians would gladly in a minute offer him the choice of becoming like them or dying. Dr. Foxman gets it. And he said, quote, "This is an outrageous and shoddy attempt by D. James Kennedy to trivialize the horrors of the Holocaust." See, we don't need any help with Holocaust trivialization. Oh, no, sunshine, because I heard from my good friend and incredibly humorous individual, not to mention prescient, observant, and a handful of other compliments, Eugene Feinerman. I heard from him today. He finds stuff. No, we don't need any Holocaust trivialization. Eugene will tell you if you ask, and on most occasions if you don't, that he's Jewish, member of the tribe. Red Sea pedestrian, Eugene is. And mighty proud. And Eugene wrote me today with something he calls your RDA of irony, your recommended daily allowance of irony. New headline, new restaurant bears Hitler's name. Bombay, India is the dateline. When Hitler's Cross restaurant opened 4 days ago in a Bombay suburb, local politicians and movie industry types were on hand to celebrate beneath the posters of the Nazi leader and swastikas. Or, somebody help me with the proper pronoun. It's either der, die, or das Hakenkreuz. The owner insisted then, and still does, that the name and theme of his new eatery is only meant to attract attention, even if it has outraged Bombay's Jewish community. You know, yumpin' Yemeni. The land of Gandhi and Jawaharlal Nehru. The Buddha has now given rise to Hitler's Cross Restaurant? Well, Eugene takes it all in stride. He let me know. He said, I might have called the restaurant Dinekampf. It does have franchise possibilities in the Middle East, except for one place, Austria and Idaho. He notes, however, Hitler was a vegetarian. For you carnivores, I could suggest the following restaurants. Attila the Hungry. Torquemada's Barbecued Steaks. Or my personal favorite, Stalin Grub. No, see, that's the thing about Dr. D. James Kennedy and his Coral Snake Ministries. Because that's what they are. I am tired of these snakes in a church. You know, honest to God, the first time I heard about snakes on a plane, I thought it was a movie about Air Force One. But seriously, we don't need, you know, the world, the very, very anti-Semitic, and, you know, pick another race, but so much of it's focused on Jewish people. The world doesn't need any help with anti-Semitism, Dr. Kennedy, who couldn't put a Band-Aid on somebody without killing them. He's such a doctor. I will heal thy cut. Yes! Jesus! Out! Out! Come out, foul splinter! ADL National Director Abraham Foxman said in a statement, "This is an outrageous and shoddy attempt by D. James Kennedy to trivialize the horrors of the Holocaust." Well, he has to, because D. James Kennedy is planning another one. Because he fully expects Jesus to show up in the clouds of victory in his holy rolls and come down and say, everybody confess me. You hold, I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. It's too good to be true, but I'm here. Three cheers and a tiger for me. I have won. Confess me. Oh, sorry. Are the Jews not D. James Kennedy, get over here, brother, and put them to the sword. That is what they plan. Oh, I play. I do dialects. I have fun. It is what they plan. They don't come in peace. They're not human beings. Oh, Jesus, I'm channeling William Shatner. Abraham Foxman said, Hitler did not need Darwin to devise his heinous plan to exterminate the Jewish people. Trivializing the Holocaust comes from either ignorance at best or at worst a mendacious attempt to score political points in the culture war on the backs of 6 million Jewish victims and others who died at the hands of the Nazis. It must be remembered that D. James Kennedy is a leader among the distinct group of Christian supremacists who seek to, quote, reclaim America for Christ, unquote, and turn the U.S. into a Christian nation. You know, I hate the way the mainstream media, quit calling these fascist goobers, these low-rent brown shirts in polyester suits, quit calling them Christians, because I know the real ones. I know a lot of real ones. I know people who are out there who will gladly take what free time they have left over from being part of the most overworked people in the Western Hemisphere, in the so-called industrialized world. They'll take their free time to work at soup kitchens, to work at homeless shelters, to reach out to people in need, who live every day with the admonition ringing in their ears, "I was hungry and ye gave me food. I was sick and you comforted me. I was in prison and you visited me." I know the people who live that. And those people would not get within a country mile of Dr. D. James Kennedy and his coral snake ministries. Now, there are some who, and I know, I mean, there's this movement, and I for the life of me can't figure it out. There is this movement inside my party that says, we kumbaya, y'all. We need to reach out to these fundamentalist goobers. Because if we just reach out the right way, they're going to see it the way it ought to be. And I personally think that portion of my party didn't get the memo about not eating the brown acid. Because those people are opposed to us. They are opposed to freedom, freedom of choice, freedom of religion. Have you never heard them say, "Well, you know, the First Amendment don't guarantee freedom from religion"? Yeah, you've heard that. I've heard that. You let them get their ultimate power, and baby, your freedom from religion is gone. Your Fourth Amendment, tottering around with a sucking chest wound as it is gone. Only thing's going to be left is the Second Amendment, and they're going to be the only ones who can exercise it. No firearms for godless, heathen, leftist heretics. That's why I still maintain a healthy firearm collection. Enjoy shooting. But I tell you what, I'm a lot more afraid of the religious right taking away my right to keep an arm bears than I am any so-called liberal. I mean, look, dig it. This is where they've gotten to. This is where these mendacious, serpentine, lying religion industry monsters have gotten. They're equating Charles Darwin with the murder of 6 million Jewish people. Of course, this is the same outfit that forgave Mel Gibson last week. "It's all the Jews' fault. Jews cause all the wars in the world. I was down in East Timor last week, and there was a bunch of Jews down there causing war." There is a reason I loathe these people. There is a reason I want nothing to do with these people. There is a reason I detest and despise these people. Because they do not live within the meaning of the words of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who walked the dusty country roads of Galilee and was slaughtered and brutally killed for suggesting something as radical as that, "Oh, I don't know, that maybe people ought to stop being quite so awful to each other." And D. James Kennedy and the rest of that crowd haven't figured out ways to be awful enough yet. The whole final judgment thing would be worth believing in just to make sure you got 50-yard line front row seats to watch Jesus Christ look at D. James Kennedy and say, "Be gone from me, ye wicked and accursed," and kick him right in the... and watch him bounce down the stairs of heaven right into the barbecue pits of hell. It would be worth believing in that whole fantasy thing. Because you like to see evil people meet their evil ends, don't you? That's part of what we're about here at the Head On Radio Network. I mean, I don't mean to co-opt anything of Dear Leaders, but by God, we will call evil out when we see it. And all you have to do is look at about more than half of the religious institutions in this country, and it's straight out of the Warner Brothers cartoon. It's the big blinking neon light on the castle. Evil scientist, boo. Evil scientist, boo. It's there. I mean, it's there for anybody who cares to look and see. And what we do here is we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And this is the Head On Radio Network, and I am Brother Bob Kincaid.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights, meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter. A world where children don't play or sing or dream or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
Before the hour on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid. We're joined on the phone right now by our good friend Rick Goodner, professional psychologist. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob, how's it going there?
If I was any better, I'd be
doing good.
I'd be hanging out by a zinc washtub full of Lone Star long neck, sharing one with you.
Oh, you know, I'm still going to have to send those to you. I really am.
Or maybe a Shiner Bock. I don't know.
Oh, Shiner Bock's great, too. That's always good. Either one, doesn't matter. What a day this has been. You survived it.
We ain't done yet.
Okay. But, you know, yesterday the world was supposed to end, according to the Beck.
Right.
So what are we doing here?
He missed.
You think so? But that's headline news.
What's Kira Phillips going to do for tomorrow?
I have no idea.
Oh, they just make me want to scream. Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be like the Thunderbolts and Lightning, very, very frightening me, Galileo Gal, you know, the whole Bohemian Rhapsody thing today, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We were supposed to be gone, and everything's supposed to be changed.
Didn't the right wing tell us that the hidden imam was going to come out from behind a rock and go, it's me?
And this guy is actually spending all that time on cable news, supposedly news. I can't believe what they have done since they got rid of Turner.
That was the coup.
That was the coup d'etat, no doubt about it. Amazing. But
because, frankly, Fox News never could have survived against a Ted Turner-led CNN.
No. And I'd really love to see him to coup it back in again. I don't know how it would happen, but I'd love to see that guy back into it.
I'd love to have some sort of an address where I could make contact with him and tell him what we're doing on the horn. This is the kind of new media that Mr. Turner used to get all excited about.
That's right. He only made, I think, one bad mistake that I can really see, and that was...
Yeah, I know.
Forgive me. He's okay. Larry yesterday was great. I really enjoyed listening.
Wasn't he something?
Really something. I really like the idea that non-union members can actually tap in now.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant strategy on the part of the AFL-CIO, and I don't even know if it's necessarily a strategy, Rick. It's an outreach because, as Larry noted, you know, what they do for everybody who gets up and goes to work in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree.
Whatever.
I think I said that same thing the last time I talked to you. And like I said, I'm not a union member, never knew any real union members, but that's what I've seen from a distance. And we would not have the 40-hour week, which we need less than, yeah. If it wasn't for the union.
No weekends, no Labor Day.
Absolutely.
You know, when would the swimming pools know when to close, Rick? If it wasn't for Labor Day.
And quit wearing white.
Yeah. somebody tell Laura Bush.
Somebody
said, oh, we are catty tonight.
So, Jerry Falwell. follow me to hell. Sorry.
I know.
Oh, the Christian ride. Isn't that wonderful? I love that little phrase that you came up with. I'm going to use it. I'm sorry. I'm going to steal it from you.
Oh, it's yours for the taking.
Ooh, wonderful. Imagine them. And why are they getting such a big voice? My God, there's only 4 million. That's nothing. That is absolutely nothing when it comes to votes.
No, but the thing is, well, the trick is they come out. I mean,
I'm out, but come on, it's still 4 million. It's not like it's...
It was enough to turn the 2004 election when you get right down to it, Rick.
I still think that...
And the machines.
Little theory that I have going is that, you know, you got 30% going to vote Republican. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just that kind of mentality.
Well,
you're going to have 49% that's going to go Democrat, and you got 21% who's on the fence. But Roy, my friend Roy, and I seem to want to call the chicken shit. 21%.
Yeah.
If you scare them, they will vote any way you want them to. And that is what carried 2002 and 2004.
But what? How does that account for the Clinton election? Because I don't recall Bill Clinton out there running around terrifying people, really.
Nope, and they didn't have to. They came out and voted. I mean, the guy had 70% approval rate. Even in his worst time, they didn't get much lower than that.
No.
So he was liked by just about everybody. And if everything was going great, what did the cowards have to fear? So, you know, yeah, that's not it. I still think that and look at Bush's polls. They are starting to go up. Every time he scares these guys, they start talking for it.
Sure.
And it scares me more than it does them because I'm thinking, you know, he may pull it off again.
Well, like I said before, Rick, one of the things that I mean, you know, you talk about being terrified. What scares me is that it was he didn't get any bounce out of the Miami guys who wanted shoes, you know, so they could go blow up. You know, they needed shoes before they could go blow up the Sears Tower. He got no mileage out of this dummied up, ginned up thing with you know, death by KY jelly and Mentos and Diet Coke. They got no mileage out of that, and you know, Frank Rich declared the era of the terrified American is over in the pages of the New York Times. Roy and I talked about that. What's scary though is all this has failed, but this is the only thing they know, Rick. And you know, you're the professional in this conversation.
They're against the wall. They're going to go back to the basics, the only thing they understand, which is the fear.
And how are they? I mean, if they can't generate it psychologically, they're going to have to generate it physically, aren't they?
You know, that is the next step. If this can be done, I think that if they had a chance to stop a terrorist attack for real, a real one, I don't think they would.
Well, you know, if you buy the whole 15 Saudis with box cutters, the dialectic with 9/11, Rick, they had an opportunity to stop that, and they didn't.
They had more than enough opportunity.
I mean, what do you say? And it's, again, we've talked about this in the past. How easy it is to forget some of this stuff. It's August the 6th, 2001. And somebody walks in and hands George Bush a brown folder stamped top secret, eyes only, and it's got a document inside it. And that document is called Bin Laden, Determined to Attack Inside U.S.
It would entail him having to read it, Bob.
Well, you know, there's some truth in that, and what blows my mind, you know, a month later we find out that he's into reading My Pet Goat.
Yeah. Well, I guess you heard the new thing that Tony Snow said, that he was reading...
L'Etranger?
Yes, and discussed an existential...
Well, but that's not all he's reading, because Book TV from C-SPAN 2 has published, having been released by the Bush White House, his entire summer reading list. I mean, this is no joke. This is not some...
Was I on his list?
Sadly, neither the Fox syndrome nor codependent what a bore were not on the list, Rick, and honest to God, I don't know why.
I can't imagine that. I think the syndrome would be just perfect for him to read.
But, you know, there's some James Michener.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Travis McGee. There's some John D. McDonald. There's some sort of nebbishy looking stuff. There's a bio of Roberto Clemente. Yeah, he wrote that. He read that. But you get down to the bottom and the bottom of the list, and the two that just sort of made me feel like somebody had just thrown a shot of really, really bad run through the radiator moonshine down my throat, you know, kind of makes you shiver all the way down to your toenails.
No, I got that one for.
Hamlet and Macbeth, Rick. Hamlet and Macbeth.
Now, that one I've missed. He actually, no. Hamlet and Macbeth.
Yeah, it's this summer. See what it does to me? This summer, he has read Hamlet. And he has read Macbeth. You know, the whole out, damned spot with the lady walking around.
Yes. I know Shakespeare quite well, as if, you know, we lived together for a long time.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of the psychological implications of that if he really reads them, which I doubt. I mean, he may read Michener, because Michener's pretty easy to read, except for the fact that it has more than, everything he has written has more than 400 pages. So I don't think that Bush has actually read any Michener either. But Shakespeare?
Oh, but there's some other dandies on here. Polio, An American Story by David Ashinsky. And Promised Land, Crusader State by Walter McDougall. I haven't had a chance to check that. I can only guess.
No, that's the one that he needs to read. I mean, it's important to this time. Day and time, it's very important for him to know what Crusader is supposed to do.
Oh.
That is our next move, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I don't know. I'm quite familiar with Hamlet myself, and I can just imagine that George reads it thinking that he's always Fortinbras. You know, just sort of dancing around the edges, doing nothing, cleaning up and coming in and cleaning up and raking it all in at the end when everybody's laying on the ground dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're gonna pick somebody, you know, he's not Yorick, because Yorick was a fine and excellent fellow of infinite jest.
Absolutely he was.
He's not Polonius. He's not Hamlet.
No, he couldn't be that.
Because he doesn't have the suicidal ideations.
He just has to be the stepfather.
Ooh, Claudius.
You know,
the guy who steals the kingdom.
Could be.
Daggum, Rick.
After he murdered the real person.
Yeah, and took the kingdom away. I guess that makes Gore, Al Gore, the guy laying on the poison
with the
cord
poison in the ear. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to figure out who.
Oh wow, that makes Fox News the poison. Oh God, Rick, when this if we make it through this program tonight, I'm going to have to get the turntable out and play me some Beatles albums backwards.
Oh, that's good. That is really good. I like that. Play them backwards. Oh,
I stole the election.
I can't see him reading Shakespeare, although I would recommend him reading probably Oedipus.
Yeah, or The Myth of Sisyphus.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. Okay.
That's Camus, though, again, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I love this. I hope everybody's catching what we're talking about.
Well, they are, you know, and the thing is, I know George, and I know that, if they handed him the book to look at, you know, they handed him the English translation of The Stranger. He said, Albert Camus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call him Camel Boy.
Camel Boy, yeah.
Because he's got to give everybody a nickname.
Got to have those nicknames. I wonder if they have Cliff Notes on those.
Oh, sure. I imagine, okay. but he's a conservative. He doesn't want to spend a lot, Rick. So he just went on, you know, somebody went online for him and found him the sort of online version of.
Well, I know he certainly wouldn't spend as much time to read it as it would take to read the Reader's Digest part of it. So it would have to be Cliff Notes of some kind. Responsibility.
Yes, sir.
I'm not letting these repubs off at all. I have them all around here, and they're all saying the same thing. George Bush is not a Republican. George Bush is not doing what he was supposed to do. Gee, I have been lied to. Uh-uh. Everything these Republicans have done is exactly what they said they were going to do if they got into power. And just because it's screwing up isn't any excuse for them to back away now and say, I'm not one of them.
No.
I want everybody out there to make sure that all of your Republican friends keep responsibility for what they did. country is in the shape that it's in because of every single one of their votes.
You birthed it, you bet.
Got it.
Darn right. We can't. They are responsible for this. And you know, it disturbs me. I touched on it a little bit earlier, Rick. It disturbs me that I hear this kumbaya garbage about how we've got to have an outreach and that we can, you know, we could take the D. James Kennedy crowd and somehow get them to vote Democrat.
You can't.
Okay, wait. Let's do this all official-like.
Okay.
Professional psychologist Rick Goodner, is there any point in reaching out to the religion industry fundamentalists for Democrats?
Let me say this as a Methodist.
Well, okay.
These people used to be a part of my church, okay, and a part of your church, and a part of everybody else's church. They were the ones who sat in the back and pointed out everybody else's sins. They were the ones who did the underhanded moves to try to take over the leadership of the church. They found out they couldn't do it. They moved out and joined these little groups. These people are wackos. They have always been wackos. They're always going to be wackos. You cannot get them to do anything or to get them to understand logic or kindness or Christian charity. These people were evil then, they're evil now, and they will stay evil. How's that as a Methodist?
That works for me as a Methodist.
Hey, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is Wednesday, dadgummit. For Democrats to think that they can, that's a little bit nutty too, isn't it?
It's worse than that. It's that forever hoping, forever thinking that everything's going to be great. You have to realize Hitler was Hitler. He wasn't going to change. Bush is Bush. He's not going to change. Falwell is Falwell. Follow him to hell.
Republicans are Republicans. They aren't going to change.
They can't change. It's in their blood. It's part of them. If they weren't Republicans, well, okay, put them back to 1928 Germany. They could have been social Democrats. They could have been communists. Or they could have been Nazis. What would they have been?
Nazis.
Obvious.
I mean, isn't it?
It is. They had those choices.
You know, I've got a my lovely wife got me a book. It's an old book, and it's just a biography of Heinrich Himmler.
Hmm.
And this book, it's not very thick, but it's dense.
Gotcha.
And
mine's not very thick, but it's thin.
Yeah. I know some German scholars who have said, you know, you just don't want to know what it is that illiterate German thinks when he tries to read Mein Kampf. But he accounts several opportunities that good Germans had to take, to either physically or politically take Adolf Hitler out of the mix. And time after time after time, it's a matter of people saying, "Ah, he's a nut. Nobody'd ever listen to him. I mean, if we pay attention to him, we're just going to give him more credibility. Just leave him."
Is that true today?
Well, I mean, with all due respect to the people who have admonished me on this, I've been told, among other things, you know, to leave. Just don't talk about Ann Coulter.
No, you got to. You got to point out the nuts when they're nuts.
And they've got to be taken out of the process. Now, I'm not talking about anybody doing any physical violence or anything, but they have got to be actively opposed, Rick.
You have got to challenge them. I do that on my website. I mean, people come over there all the time. Not my website, excuse me, Amazon. They're coming over there, and they're attacking the book constantly. Of course, they haven't read it. So I play whack-a-mole. As soon as they stick their heads up, I knock them back down. You've got to get them. By the way, if there's any Republicans out there listening, and if you want to have a good argument, go ahead to my website, and I'll be happy to...
Or basic
your mo.
Yeah, so what? Go look up the Fox Syndrome at Amazon.com?
Yeah. And, yeah, it's fun. And I will take them on anytime they come. I am not going to allow even my best friends here, Republican. I'm not going to let them off the hook. I'm not going to let your listeners off the hook who voted for him. I'm not going to let my sister off the hook who voted for him.
Yeah.
I'm letting nobody off the hook. They are responsible for everything that's happened, and it can get worse.
And the thing, you started with the word responsibility. You just used the word responsible again. Actions, and you're kind of in this business, so I'll let you take it and run. Actions have consequences.
Actions have consequences, and lack of actions have consequences. Yeah. If you don't oppose an evil, you're part of the evil. If you don't point out madness and work with it, you're part of the madness.
Well, Agnes just gave you a big thumbs up, Richardson. I'm right there with you. And as am I and most of the people who listen to this program. The question is, you know, how do you do it? How do you oppose that evil? How do you oppose the madness? You say, you know, you're not letting them off the hook. You know, is this where you drop the pretense of, well, there's some things we won't talk about around the dinner table?
No. I will talk about anything around the dinner table. If they sit at my table, they're going to hear what I have to say, and I will listen to what they have to say. If they're my friends and they come into my home, they're going to hear what I have to say, and I will listen to what they have to say. Now, you don't let people off the hook. If I had, well, my daughter does something really stupid, she's going to pay for it. And 51% of the voters of America did something really stupid, if those were real elections. And yeah. They have to pay for it. And right now they're not hurting enough with the high gas, not hurting enough with, oh my God, if they just went to as many funerals as I've had to go through with Red Cross for people who've died in this stinking war. Take that responsibility.
I can't comprehend that.
Next time somebody is buried from this war, go to it. Look at it. See what happened. Take the responsibility for what you have done. And that statement Larry made yesterday, the moment a child is born, they're $40,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm.
These people who voted for this idiot, for these morons, for the people who did exactly what they said they were going to do, they need to start paying that back.
Yeah.
Pity of it.
Why is that a baby's responsibility?
It's not.
I mean,
it's
even
not my responsibility, and it's not yours, Bob.
Even in the Southern Baptist Church where I was raised, Rick, there was something called the, and I'm sure you're well familiar with it, the age of accountability.
Age of accountability, 12.
12. Darn right. Can't get baptized till you're 12, son.
That's right.
Because you know you.
Although in Oklahoma, a girl can get married at 12. Figure that one out.
Right.
We're more civilized than that in Texas.
Oh, just going to leave it alone. Going to leave it alone. Learning curve, Rick. Learning curve. But no, yeah. It's the absolute truth. How is a baby born today responsible for Bush's nightmare? And not just Bush. You know, we overfocus, I think.
No, I think we're wrong by blaming Bush. It's everybody who voted for him.
And it's the Congress, and it's the Supreme Court. How is it that a baby, minutes old, is responsible for the hell that they have unleashed upon the future of that child?
But we are going to have to take responsibility.
As local federal prosecutors across the country and are routinely replaced when an administration changes, but this midterm House clearing, which started as a plan by Harriet Myers, former White House counsel, to replace all 93 top prosecutors, is unprecedented in modern times. Charlie Cook, editor of the Cook Political Report, said, "This seems so heavy-handed, so political, and more reminiscent of the stories during the Nixon administration. This was a group who came to town playing very brashly and aggressively and took a lot of risks. And for 5 years, everything went their way. Now everything is breaking against them." The U.S. Attorney's affair is just the latest in a series of problems at the Justice Department, including last week's revelation that the FBI had abused its power to seize the personal records of Americans. Mr. Gonzalez, whom Mr. Bush calls Fredo, was part of the group of Bush advisors dubbed Team Texas, who came to Washington and owe their rise to Mr. Bush. Well, because of Mr. Bush, folks, their fall's coming also. He's not the only loyal Texas aide whose career has floundered in Washington. Ms. Myers, a former legal counsel who is also embroiled in the current attorney's fight, and Scott McClellan, former press secretary, were both ousted in favor of more seasoned Washington insiders. Many legal experts have been critical of Mr. Gonzalez's tenure, saying he failed to understand the Justice Department's special role. The standards are different for an attorney general. He is the steward of the rule of law, says Bruce Fine, a legal scholar. This attorney general is an echo chamber of the White House. He does whatever they want. Now that a storm had arisen, Mr. Gonzalez was vulnerable, said Vin Weber, a Republican with White House ties, because he is not the choice of conservative Republicans, and he is not trusted by Democrats. Folks, this is setting up for indictments. It's setting up for impeachments. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Watch. If Gonzalez, resigns, watch the tidal wave that happens, the domino effect that happens after that. The question is whether Fred Fielding, the harder-nosed new White House counsel, wants a different figure at the Justice Department as it steels itself for the continued onslaught of upcoming congressional inquiries into issues ranging from the Patriot Act to terrorism surveillance. Stinks, stinks, stinks in the White House, folks. Squint your nose, hold your nose, if you're taking a tour of the White House because it smells to high heaven. We got a really dirty White House here, folks. Really dirty White House. Now, we're going to skip the Wolf's Wackies this hour, Samantha. I love the Wolf's Wackies, but skip it. Thank you. We got a really corrupt White House. No question about it. And you should be looking up your number, if you don't already have, of your congressmen and senators to get on the phone and dial them and just run off a list of all the things that have been happening that you're sick of, from Abramoff to Libby to Attorney General Gonzalez to the number three Al-Qaeda man confessing from the secret Guantanamo Bay hearings to illegal wiretapping to the Iraq war to the potential of an Iran war to fraud in voting primaries and on and on and on. This would fill a textbook, over 800 pages of textbook case of impeachment. This is a classic impeachment case, folks. Enough. Seriously, enough. Big breath, Jeff. Take a breath. Wow. Okay. We have got about 5.5 minutes left at the top of our first hour. I want to remind you, just switching gears, if I may, Walt K., if you're listening from Bear, Massachusetts, B-A-R-R-E, Massachusetts, Walt K., 46 years old, you won the Saturday Night Live book that we were giving away, The Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live. So email us. We'll email you, and we'll get your address so we can send it out. We're still giving away the book called Moments, and it's the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. And I said inadvertently David Halbertson wrote the foreword, and he's a world-famous photographer. My apologies. I love David Halbertson. He's a world-famous journalist with 13 books and incredible books, and I didn't do him justice, and I apologize. Hal Buell wrote the commentary in the book also, and he's an award-winning editor and journalist. So a collection, 300 pages, black and white in color, an oversized coffee tabletop book of all the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. I'm giving away one copy. One copy of the book. And if you'd like to enter into that, then enter and write book, photographic book, photography book, Pulitzer Prize book, whatever, but write book, photography book, and email us. We'll hold a drawing next week. We're going to pull out one lucky, not a number, not the 19th, not the 20th, not the 4th. Whatever emails come in, 100 emails, one email, one lucky drawing, one winner will win this beautiful, I think it's a $75 value book that we'll give away at our expense. We'll mail it out to you on our dime. Okay, fair enough. Wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. And also, you could phone us at 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919. America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network. And I'm Jeff Allen Wolf, and I'm a talk show host on the progressive right, the progressive left, excuse me. I say right, I'm rattled here. The progressive left of the aisle, and a 16-year talk show host veteran. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and hopefully it makes you think. Like I said, we get a little unhinged at times, a little high blood pressure, but hopefully you get our common sense that's coming through and opening up a dialogue with you with the emails to find out what's on your mind. So don't stop. Send us emails. Let us know. This is an important story, as they all are, folks, but especially this one, especially with what's going on in the last 6 years in the Bush administration. It is time to clean house. It is time to clean house, folks. And, you know, it's definitely time to change venues, change track of what's going on. All right. We're coming up to our top of our first hour. When we come back, we're going to continue on with the Scooter Libby, I'm sorry, the Gonzalez story. And we're gonna probably switch gears slightly and open it up with a little humor, because we do need a little break from the angst and anger and upset that's been going on. Don't forget to check out nonstopradio.com and check out all the work that they're trying to do to keep progressive talk around. And they have a lot of interesting things going on. They have an award. They're giving out a Trailblazer Award for some of the pioneers in talk radio. I'm not on it because I wasn't a pioneer. But they have an award that they're giving out, and they're looking for nominations, who you feel from the pioneers of talk radio. So check it out. It's all on there. And stick with us in our show. And like I said, we've got a lot to discuss. But we have something funny to talk about in the opening few minutes of our second hour. I think laughter will help help at least me bring the blood pressure down to a bare minimum of not burning ember red right now. My face, Samantha's holding up a sign saying my face is bright red and my neck is bright red. I'm sorry. Well, it's, truth is truth, folks. Samantha, Natasha, I get upset and I get annoyed, and I'm just going to say it as it is. I'll be damned if I make up a show. I'll be damned if I do phony radio. I'll be damned if I do mock controversy like all the other hosts out there, all the conservative talk show hosts. I'm going to be me, and me is straight from the hip, off the cuff, unedited, unfiltered, unspun, and common sense behind what I say. All right, we will be back. And when we do get back, we have a lot more to talk about. We've still got about 2 hours left. Please don't go away to all the Wolfpack listeners out there supporting the show. Thank you so much. I'm trying to think of anything else that I missed. Samantha says, no, you've announced the book. You've announced the Wolfpack 300. Join the Loyal Listeners Club for free. And that's it, folks. More with the Jeff Allen Wolf Show from Studio 19 and Natasha, Samantha, and all the rest here. And you, we're coming right back.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Breaking news story on the Al-Qaeda number 3. This just off of the wire services. Al-Qaeda number 3, Mohammed says he's the one that shot House. That's right. Hugh Laurie on the television show House. He shot him in his leg. He's the cause of Hugh Laurie's injury on the fantastically awarded television medical drama House. Just kidding. That's what it should be, shouldn't it? This man has admitted to everything, folks. He's shot everybody. He's killed everybody. He's... Okay, humor. We need some humor. This was dug up for me from my lovely lady, Natasha. And this is the end. I need the laughter, folks. Hopefully you don't mind the break in politics to go to something totally unrelated. This is the annual Stella Awards, okay? Let me read this to you. It's time once again to review the winners of the annual Stella Awards. The Stellas are named after 81-year-old Stella Labeck, who spilled coffee on herself. and successfully sued McDonald's in New Mexico. Now, that case inspired the Stella Awards for the most frivolous, ridiculous, successful lawsuits in the United States for this year. Are you ready? This is going to show you how stupid our judiciary system is. Fifth place tie, folks, a fifth place tie, three-way. I'm sorry, this is funny. You will really like this. Kathleen Robertson of Austin, Texas, was awarded $80,000 by a jury of her peers after breaking her ankle, tripping over a toddler who was running inside a furniture store. I could see that. The owners of the store were understandably surprised at the verdict, considering the misbehaving little toddler was Ms. Robertson's own son. She was awarded $80,000. Tied for fifth place, however, folks, 19-year-old Carl Truman of Los Angeles won $74,000 in medical expenses when his neighbor ran over his hand with a Honda Accord. Makes sense. Oh, well, Mr. Truman apparently didn't notice there was someone at the wheel of the car when he was trying to steal his neighbor's hubcaps. Yet he was awarded $74,000. Still tied for fifth place, folks. Terrence Dixon of Bristol, Pennsylvania, was leaving a house he had just finished robbing by way of the garage. He was not able to get the garage door to go up since the automatic door opener was malfunctioning. He couldn't re-enter the house because the door connecting the house and garage locked when he pulled it shut. The family was on vacation. Mr. Dixon found himself locked in the garage for 8 days. He subsisted on a case of Pepsi he found and a large bag of dry dog food. So he was arrested, right? No. He sued the homeowner's insurance, claiming the situation caused him undue mental anguish, and the jury agreed to the tune of $500,000. Thank you, Natasha. Fourth place, Jerry Williams. Oh, it gets better? For you damn right it does. What do you hear this? Fourth place, Jerry Williams of Little Rock, Arkansas, was awarded $14,500 in medical expenses after being bitten on the buttocks by his next-door neighbor's beagle. The beagle was on a chain in its owner's fenced yard. The award was less than sought because the jury felt the dog might have been just a little provoked at the time by Mr. Williams, who had climbed over the fence into the yard and was shooting the beagle repeatedly with a pellet gun. I'm not making this up, folks. Third place, hey, we're getting better to the big winners. A Philadelphia restaurant was ordered to pay Amber Carson of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, $113,500 after she slipped on a soft drink and broke her tailbone. The beverage was on the floor because Ms. Carson had thrown it at her boyfriend 30 seconds earlier during an argument, and she got $113,000 plus. Second place, folks. Kara Walton of Claymont, Delaware, successfully sued the owner of a nightclub in a neighboring city when she fell from the bathroom window to the floor and knocked out her two front teeth. Now, this occurred while Ms. Walton was trying to sneak through the window in the ladies' room to avoid paying the $3.50 cover charge. She was awarded $12,000 and dental expenses. Number one, first place. I love this one. This year's runaway winner was Mrs. Merv Grzynski of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Mrs. Grzynski purchased a brand new 32-foot Winnebago motorhome on her first trip home from an OU football game. Having driven onto the freeway, Mrs. Grzynski, while she's on the freeway, she set the cruise control at 70 miles per hour and then calmly left the driver's seat to go into the back and make herself a sandwich. Not surprisingly, the RV, of course, left the freeway, crashed, and overturned. Mrs. Grzynski sued Winnebago for not advising her in the owner's manual that she couldn't actually do this. The jury awarded her $1,750,000 plus a new motorhome, folks. the company actually changed their manuals on the basis of this suit, just in case there were any other complete morons out there like Mrs. Grzinski. And that's the Stella Awards. And that is absolutely freaking hilarious. And thank you. That's great, folks. That's great. Thank you, Natasha, for that. Hope you enjoyed that. Break it up a little levity here. We're getting really serious on stuff. But now it's time to revisit the Gonzalez trial. Yeah, we got to go back to the reality of the world, folks, the idiocy of the George Bush administration, Attorney General Gonzalez. Panel okay subpoenas in attorney probe from Washington. The Associated Press, again, my favorite. The Senate Judiciary Committee Thursday cleared the way for subpoenas compelling five Justice Department officials and six of the U.S. attorneys they fired to tell the story of the purge that has prompted demands for the ouster of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. The voice vote to authorize the panel to issue subpoenas amounts to insurance against the possibility that Gonzalez could retract his permission to let the aides testify voluntarily or impose strict conditions. The committee also postponed for a week a vote on whether to authorize subpoenas of top aides to President Bush, who were involved in the eight firings, including political advisor Karl Rove, former White House counsel Harriet Meyer, and deputy White House counsel William K. Kelly. The committee approved subpoena power over key Justice Department officials involved in the firings, Michael Elston, Kyle Sampson, Monica Goodling, Bill Mercer, Mike Battle. Sampson, Gonzalez's chief of staff, quit this week. Elston is staff chief to Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty. Mercer is associate attorney general. Goodling is Gonzalez's senior counsel and White House liaison, and Battle is the departing director of the office that oversees all 93 U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez has said he would allow the aides still at the Justice Department to testify voluntarily. It was unclear whether Sampson would agree to tell his story without a subpoena. The panel also approved subpoena power for six of the eight U.S. attorneys fired since December, the six, all of whom testified last week under oath before the House committee, are Carol Lamb of California, Bud Cummings of Arkansas, Paul Charlton of Arizona, John McKay of Washington State, Daniel Bogdan of Nevada, David Iglesias of New Mexico. The subpoenas are a warning to the embattled administration to follow through on promises in recent days by Gonzalez and Bush to tell the whole story of the firings beyond the selected details that Associate Deputy Attorney General William Moschella revealed to the White House panel last week. Now, I want to obtain their cooperation and all relevant information, Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy said. But I want people to know that if I do not get cooperation, I will subpoena. We will have testimony under oath in this committee. We will find out what happened. Good. Someone having some balls for a change. Ranking Republican Arlen Specter said he would do the same thing if he was still chairman. But he cautioned against passing judgment on Gonzalez and the aides before the facts are fully known. I agree that this committee should get to the bottom of this issue, Specter, Republican Pennsylvania, said. I would hope that we would do so with at least a modicum of objectivity. Some senators have called for days for Bush to fire Gonzalez. Senator John Sununu of New Hampshire on Wednesday became the first Republican to call for Gonzalez's ouster just hours after Bush gave Attorney General, a longtime friend of the president, a vote of confidence. I think the president should replace him, Sununu said in an interview. I think the Attorney General should be fired. Although some Republicans have been tepid in their support for the Attorney General, Sununu was the first to go so far in the uproar over the Justice Department's firing of the attorneys and its response to congressional questions, plus a separate report that the administration abused its power to secretly investigate suspected terrorists. The White House issued a curt response to Sununu's remarks. "We're disappointed, obviously," White House spokesman Tony Snow said. A Justice Department spokeswoman refused to comment. Speaking to reporters in Mexico before returning to Washington, Bush expressed confidence in Gonzalez, defended the firings. What Al did and what the Justice Department did was appropriate, the president said. Still, Bush left himself room to sack the attorney general. What was mishandled was the explanation of the cases to the Congress, Bush said, and Al's got work to do up there. Gonzalez, expected to meet with lawmakers this week, has been fending off Democratic demands that he resign over the ousters of the eight U.S. attorneys, which Democrats have characterized as a politically motivated purge. "We want Congress to know, to understand what happened here," Gonzalez says. "We'll work it out." Same thing like Rumsfeld, folks. Bush supported him, and then what happened? He resigned. And I'm telling you, Alberto Gonzalez will resign. If he doesn't, I'll be shocked. He will resign. They will hold hearings and have subpoenas with the hearings. We will find out more, and this is going to lead on and on. If one more scandal comes out in the Bush administration, I'm telling you this, if this is not the straw that broke the camel's back, it's damn near close, folks. It's damn near close. We'll see what the weekend brings and the weeks ahead bring, but I'm telling you, the noose is tightening on the Texas team, George Bush and the Texas group, and they are getting their comeuppance that they're due for 6 years. I really believe it's starting to happen. I really believe this. I think we're going to see some interesting fireworks as the weeks advance. We're going to talk about, we got a break coming up. We're going to talk about, for weary conservatives, all eyes are on George Bush, what he does now. We're going to cover that. A lot of things you're watching him for, and we'll go through that in detail. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you're getting some information. Hope you're getting fired up in your gut and your soul to do something and act upon it. Hope you're at least writing us a damn email. WolfpackTalk@yahoo.com. 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 I'm Jeff. This is the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. 3 hours. We got about an hour and 46 minutes left for our show. And we got plenty of time to talk about a lot of things. Samantha in the studio with me. We're going to come back from Studio 19 and more about what's happening in the world of Washington. The Incredible Wizard of Oz. The only George Bush, right? What a fiasco this administration has been, folks. It's easy to do a talk show. It really is. Because every day, every single day, something goes wrong with the Bush administration. It's getting worse by the minute. All right, we're coming back. We got more ahead on the show. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. Don't go away. Coming back to the Wolf's Den, you, the Wolfpack listeners, in two.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their progressive talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of progressive talk. Nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners. We'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's WolfpackTalk@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us.
to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Narrowcast, podcast, world class. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And Jeff Allen Wolf back with you for the show. Welcome back to the Wolf's Den here in Arizona, Studio 19. And to all the Wolfpack listeners out there, ow, ow, ow. There we go. That's my big ow. Hey, don't forget we're giving away this beautiful book. I want to take a moment to talk about this. You know, we don't get any money coming into the show, folks. We really don't, except for advertising. And our advertiser that we're running right now is basically paid for in full. We set a deal with our advertiser. They help finance the setup of the studio with the equipment, and they get to run as long as I'm on the air, and there's no more income coming in from them. So right now, as we look for more advertisers, we're basically at ground zero of income, but money is going out the door on a daily basis. But I took the time. I have this book, and it's the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. And it's called Moments, by Hal Buell, award-winning editor and journalist, and foreword by David Halbertson. And David Halbertson, a legendary figure in American letters, is the author of 13 best-selling books. He joined the New York Times in 1960, became renowned for his coverage of Vietnam, for which he won a Pulitzer Prize. His books include The Best and the Brightest and The Powers That Be. This is a fabulous book. It's 300 pages of black and white and color Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs, folks, from 19... What do we say the first photo in here is 1942, all the way up to, they take you to, if I'm looking at this, to 2005, folks, 2005. These books will move you, they will make you drop your jaw, they will make you cry, they will make you heavy in the heart, they will make you hopeful. They're just every gamut of emotion. And we are giving away the one copy of this book. It's an oversized, fairly large tabletop, beautiful presented coffee tabletop book, the Pulitzer Prize winning photographs, called Moments. And all you need to do is email us and say, listen carefully, because I had people sending in emails that I had to disqualify. Please don't just write us an email and say, I want the book. And that's not going to cut it. To get a book like this, we're just asking you to do a little bit more. Take the time to say some things about the show if you've been listening for a while. Be honest. If you're a first-time listener, say so. But don't just, I want a book. I'm entering because it's free. I appreciate that. But give us your first name. Give us the city, state, and country if you're out of the United States that you're listening from. How did you hear about the show? iTunes, Google, the Horn Radio Network, Radio Power Days, website, friend, stumbled across it, a pigeon told you, the Guantanamo Bay Secret Hearings, they released a transcript and told you about the show. And make some comments, don't we? We've had a lot of emails come in where they've talked about the issues we're talking about, went into a paragraph or two about whatever was on their mind, and then asked, by the way, I'd like to be entered for the drawing of the book. We're going to pull out one lucky Wolfpack listener. If there's 20 people, if there's 2,000 people, it doesn't matter. One lucky Wolfpack listener will win the copy of this Pulitzer Prize-winning photographic book called Moments. I'll send it out to you anywhere in the world on our dime. And realize it's one entry per person. If you come across with multiple entries, not a problem, but we will clip it together with a stapler gun, and we'll go, that's one entry. Okay, so be fair. Enter. Let us know you're out there. This is one way of getting you motivated at least to comment on things. Shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to comment on the issues that we're talking about regardless of toys. But I wanted to give away this. I had an extra one of these. I literally bought two of these. And I was going to give it away to a photographer friend of mine, but I'd like to give it away to one of the Wolfpack listeners. If you like journalism, if you're into beautiful photographs, beautiful in the sense of not beautiful, beautiful to the eye, but incredible photography capturing, you know, journalistic moments. The issues from Iwo Jima to Iraq to, you know, everything that's happened in the last 60 years. This is the book to enter a contest into, okay? WolfpackTalk@yahoo.com. W-O-L-F-P-A-C-K-T-A-L-K And please send your emails to us, and we'll have the drawing at the end of the week or the beginning of next week. All right, for wary conservatives, all eyes are on Bush. From the Washington AP wire services, every time President Bush makes an overture to Democrats, and he makes plenty these days, conservative Republicans get edgy. Why? Well, they fear he might be so willing to cross the aisle that he will end up crossing them. Everybody should be very concerned and very active, says Grover Norquist, president of Americans for Tax Reform and a conservative leader with close White House relations. The temptation for an administration in the last 2 years is to do something for legacy purposes, Norquist said. And with the Democratic House and Senate, doing something cannot be good. The White House sees it differently. Mired in an unpopular war, slumping in the polls, knocked off course by one setback after another, Bush still has time. He can score a few legislative victories and burnish his domestic legacy before he leaves office if he gets help from both parties. Plus, he has little to lose, not having to worry about an election ever again. Now that Bush needs cooperation from Democrats to get things done, bipartisanship is back in style. We have suffered as a party from a perception that we're unwilling and unable to get things done, said Ed Gillespie, a former Republican Party chairman. And so if there are some things that we can do that are consistent with our Republican principles, we should get those things done. Since Democrats won the House and Senate in November, Bush has appealed to them on education, energy, health care, immigration, and Social Security. That has kicked up whispers of triangulation, a model linked to his predecessor, Democrat Bill Clinton. As designed, it amounted to plucking ideas from the opposing party, taking others from the president's own party, and offering up a merge strategy that put the White House above the fray. Even when it worked, it often led to both sides feeling scorched. Karl Rove, Bush's chief political strategist, had been reassuring conservatives that will not happen under this president. The White House mantra is to work with Democrats without abandoning such tenets as low taxes and personal responsibility. The AP story goes on to say, as Rove put it, we're going to operate around principles and see if we could find a way to bring the broad center together with us. Then he thought about those words and got more precise about the middle ground. Broad right center, he said. William Galston, a top domestic policy aide to Clinton, said triangulation was overhyped. In reality, he said, Clinton worked with Republicans on matters such as overhauling welfare, a campaign pledge because his views mesh with theirs. Likewise, Bush may have more in common with Democrats than leaders in his own party on education and immigration. The president now has an opportunity to take yes for an answer, said Galston, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Access is not the problem for conservative leaders. They regularly get an audience with the White House through conference calls and meetings and a friendly heads up when policy changes are coming. I don't feel like we're being cut out at all, said Representative Jen Hensarling, Republican Texas, chairman of the Coalition of House Conservatives, known as the Republican Study Committee. Ask me the same thing 6 months from now, but right now I think we have good dialogue. Still, Bush has not always been in concert with the base that helped get him elected twice. Conservative Republicans have derailed one of his Supreme Court nominations and chided him for expanding government more than he has restrained it. On cultural issues, such as Bush's opposition to abortion and gay marriage, conservatives are not bracing for a fight. The grumbles tend to focus on two bedrock issues, immigration and taxes. Bush remains adamant that immigration changes should include a guest worker program and a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants. Many Republicans support that approach. Conservatives say it is too lenient towards those who enter the country illegally. House conservatives will be exceedingly unhappy about anything that is even a faint aroma of amnesty, Hensarling said. A stalemate, though, does the GOP no good. Republican leaders fear their party could splinter in the 08 election year. On taxes, the president has put it plainly, we're not going to raise taxes, but the worries are not going away. To entice Democrats to negotiate on overhauling Social Security, Bush has offered to meet without ruling anything out. Many conservatives say nothing good can come of that. They do not even want him in the room with Democrats. Their nightmare is a deal in which taxes go up or benefits go down to make the program more solvent, yet without the private investment accounts that Bush wants. Some of this unrest may be rooted solely in memories of disappointment, Gillespie said. Bush's father famously broke his Read My Lips pledge against raising taxes in a budget deal with Democrats. Now Republicans had to work to halt President Reagan's tax deal. with Democrats in 1985 and led in part by a Wyoming lawmaker named Dick Cheney. Norquist said the pressure on Bush to give in to the Democrats even one time will be immense. Then again, Bush seems inclined to do more than just say no, and he is running out of time. The president doesn't have 2 years, Galston said. I don't think he has a year. He has about 9 months before it's all politics all the time. He has to decide how successful he wants the remainder of his presidency to be. That's talking about wary conservatives looking at Bush carefully, watching his every move. That's what happens in a presidency like this. You're trying to make a name for yourself, a legacy. You don't have a lot of time. You got to start scrambling. And that's the name of that tune. Wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com. You can email us, wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com. WOLFPACKTALK at yahoo.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got, let's see, what are we covering here? We're covering a deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects health care proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters event. We'll find out what that's all about. And if we can get that in the second hour, Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas on the behalf of Chavez, Hugo Chavez, and the controlled Citgo. That should be an interesting read. So stay with us. Don't go away. We got a lot to talk about. You are listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network. And again, I'm Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19 in Arizona. Samantha, my producer, Natasha, my news producer, Dave, my website designer, and all the people that make this show involved or get involved to make this show happen, salute off to you and to salute to all the Wolfpack listeners out there. So stay with us. We've got a lot to talk about. Don't forget the book. Enter for the book. Enter the Wolfpack 300. Enter just to say hello and send us an email. A lot of ways you can enter, and it's very easy to get into us, and we do respond when we get some time. That's about it. All right, so we're coming back. We're at the bottom of our first hour, basically there. And when we get back, we're going to discuss more stuff that's happening in the world of politics and around the world and issues left and right, up and down. I'm Jeff, coming right back.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their Progressive Talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of Progressive Talk. nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners, we have a new thing going on. It's called the Wolfpack 300. That's right, it's the Loyal Listener Club of this show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. And it's very easy to join, and it's free. If you want to become a member of the Wolfpack 300, write us an email, put in the subject line Wolfpack 300, your first name, your age range, the city, state, or country where you're listening to the show from, and how you heard about the show. We're going to put our first 300 loyal listeners of the Wolfpack on our webpage, a special page just for the Wolfpack 300, where we're going to have your first name and the city, state, or country you represent from all around the world. The Wolfpack 300, it's easy and it's free. Write us at wolfpacktalk at yahoo.com and join the Wolfpack 300 today.
On this show, there's only one rule. No spin. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And welcome back, everyone, to the show that never ends. The progressive guy from the blend. I don't know, I was going for a rhyme there, and it didn't work, so I stopped and I quit while I was behind, as they say. All right, let's get right to more news, more fun things, more wild, crazy things in the news. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. This is from the United Nations. Six world powers reached agreement Thursday on a package of new sanctions against Iran that included an embargo on arms exports and an asset freeze on more individuals and companies associated with Tehran's nuclear and missile programs. The draft resolution hammered out by the five permanent Security Council nations, the United States, Russia, China, Britain, and France, and Germany will now be presented to the 10 non-permanent Security Council nations who have been left out of negotiations. We have an agreement, and I will introduce it as text on behalf of the six, Britain's UN ambassador, Amir Jones Perry, said after a meeting of ambassadors from the six countries. So a deal has been reached on the UN sanctions versus Iran, and we will see what they totally are. It includes the embargo on arms exports and an asset freeze on more individuals and companies associated with Tehran's nuclear and missile programs. We'll see if that helps, if it makes a difference or not, as the weeks and months, of course, go on. And, you know, we'll see where they're leading to. Hopefully it will work, short of George Bush invading Iran. President rejects health care proposal. The Bush administration on Wednesday rejected key recommendations from a citizens group asked by Congress to find out people's health care wishes. Suggestions included guaranteeing health coverage for specific checkups and treatments and protecting consumers from high medical expenses. The group released its report September 29th after hearing from about 6,500 people at 84 meetings. President Bush agrees with many of the goals, but differs on how to achieve them, according to a letter from Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The group chose an approach based on mandates and government intervention rather than an approach emphasizing consumer choice and options, Leavitt said. Congress created the task force when it established a drug benefit for Medicare beneficiaries. The group's 15 members represented consumers, the disabled, business, organized labor, and healthcare providers. The task force called for a guaranteed package of health benefits for everyone. It urged creation of an independent, nonpartisan group to select those benefits, such as the annual breast cancer exam or physical. The group did not answer the hard question of how the government should pay for the benefits, but said people believe there is enough money to make the changes. The group said the government should first transfer money from other programs to pay for the benefits. Leavitt said the administration agrees it is important to make health care more affordable and expand insurance coverage, but he disagreed with the concept of a national commission to define coverage. A nationally determined set of core health benefits would place important decision-making about a person's health care in the control of federal appointees, rather than allowing the consumer to choose the benefits from best which fits meets their needs, Leavitt said. Senators Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, and Orrin Hatch, Republican Utah, came up with the idea for the group. Wyden said he believes that lawmakers are more willing to work together in health care than they have been in many years. We're seeing real signs that members of Congress want to fix the health care system, he said. So the president rejects the health care proposal, but they're still working on it. They're still trying to push it through. Bravo to them, because we need some movement on the front of health care, folks. We can't just do same old, same old. We've got to get people covered. We got to get people be able to choose benefits, etc. We got to revamp the healthcare system to go worlds apart than where we are now. We need to jump into the future. Okay, so if you have opinions on this, you can reach us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Giuliani will miss firefighters event. John McCain will be there, as will Hillary Rodham Clinton, John Edwards, and half a dozen other presidential candidates. But when firefighters hold a candidates forum today in Washington, Rudolph Giuliani, the contender most closely identified with their profession, will not attend. In the past several days, a private tussle over Giuliani's participation, he was out, then in, then out again, has turned into a public spat with the International Association of Firefighters. That, in turn, has highlighted an uncomfortable paradox of Giuliani's campaign. Since the September 11th attacks, when he was mayor of New York City, he has been linked in the public mind to firefighters and police officers whom he regularly hails as heroes as he campaigns around the country. Yet the firefighters and police officers who know Giuliani best, those in New York City, have mixed reviews of him, ranging from admiration to outright hostility. We told you about this, folks. We told you in the last couple of weeks, Giuliani is paper thin. He's a phony. This has filtered through to leaders of their national associations accusing Giuliani for trying to cut short the effort to find victims' remains in the Trade Center wreckage. They also contend that his administration mishandled the development of a radio system that could have saved lives on 9/11, and that he blundered into putting the city's emergency command center in the Trade Center. The Giuliani campaign says that criticism stems from the hostility from union leaders with whom he had tough negotiations, and it promotes the notion that the former mayor has a special bond with emergency workers. He was cheered by firefighters and police officers at recent events in South Carolina and New Hampshire. This is a natural constituency for him, said Anthony Carbonetti, a senior Giuliani advisor. The critiques, he said, come from a select group of union officials, and the union and the firefighters are two different groups of people. He said rank-and-file workers know, for example, that Giuliani got firefighters heavy-duty suits known as bunker gear that has saved lives. But attacks by emergency workers quietly encouraged by some rival campaigns strike at the heart of the candidacy of Giuliani, who presents himself as a leader who tamed crime and led a wounded city through the aftermath of the terror attacks. And that's another bogus thing. The criticism is all the more jarring because most public figures in both parties, whether out of conviction or calculation, have been unwilling to say anything negative about Giuliani's handling of 9/11. Jim Pascoe, executive director of the National Fraternal Order of Police, said, "Everybody likes a Churchillian kind of leader who jumps up when the ashes are still falling and takes over. But two or three good days don't expunge an 8-year record." So Giuliani is going to miss the firefighters' event as a falling out with them. I'm telling you, a lot of people like him less than you think, folks. Don't let the slick, the New York background, his slick handling of 9/11 fool you. A lot of people in New York do not like him and do not respect him. Okay? So just wanted to bring that to the table. And we're coming up to a few minutes before our break. We're going to talk about Giuliani law firm lobbies for Chavez, Hugo Chavez. Also, we're going to talk about, where are we at on this one? We're going to talk about, that's probably as much as we can get in those two news stories. So we'll hang on to that and we'll take it a step at a time. What else in the news? Don't forget our Wolfpack 300 Club. Don't forget just email us for the sake of emailing us. Don't forget to email and put in a registration for the top Pulitzer Prize winning photographs in a book called Moments. You can register for a drawing for that book. We're giving away one copy to one lucky winner. And a lot of things to write to us about. So don't be a stranger. Take the time. You're in front of the computer already. You're on an iPod, whatever. It's very convenient to send us an email and check in with us. Let us know you're there. Like I said, we need to hear acknowledgement from the people out there. That's what keeps us going. That's the only thing that excites us and potential advertisers is seeing the emails coming out to us, okay? So take the time and flood the email box for a change. Make us work. Samantha and Maverick and Natasha are not working that hard, folks. They need to work harder to open up all the emails and see all the comments from all the listeners out there. All right, Samantha says, we'll take a break early? Why don't we do that? Why don't we take a break early? And we will be back in two. We're going to cut to the commercials right now. Just squeeze it a little ahead of time. When we get back, again, more to discuss here at Studio 19. Jeff Allen Wolf, come on back. We're here very shortly. Or maybe not.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their Progressive Talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of Progressive Talk. nonstopradio.com.
Wolfpack listeners, we'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but with a huge dose of common sense. It's Jeff Allen Wolf.
And back with you on the show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, Studio 19, Arizona. Welcome back with about 16 minutes left, we'll call it, before the end of the second hour. Let's get right into this. Giuliani Law Firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. That's why I don't like Giuliani. Listen to the further rumblings here. Rudolph Giuliani's law firm lobbies for Citgo Petroleum Corp, a unit of the state-owned oil company controlled by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, the U.S.'s chief antagonist in the Western Hemisphere. Bracewell and Giuliani LLP registered to lobby for Citgo in Texas on April 26, 2005, less than a month after the former New York mayor joined the firm and became a name partner, state records show. Citgo renewed the contract in 2006 and 2007 and pays the firm $5,000 a month to track legislation. Giuliani doesn't lobby, the firm says. The law firm's representation of Citgo comes as Chavez's relations with the U.S. have grown increasingly hostile. He has called President George W. Bush a devil and a madman and staged a mass anti-American rally in Buenos Aires during Bush's trip to Latin America, which ends today. Patrick Oxford, a managing partner of Bracewell and Giuliani, said Giuliani, Republican presidential hopeful, has no dealings with the Venezuelan-owned oil company. He has not seen hide nor hair of Citgo, Oxford said. Giuliani's presidential exploratory committee released a statement that didn't address written questions asking whether he knew his firm did business with Houston-based Citgo and whether he considers it appropriate. The emailed statement discussed his views toward Chavez and energy policy. Mayor Giuliani has been clear and consistent. Hugo Chavez is no friend of the United States, campaign spokeswoman Katie Levinson said in the statement. Chief among the reasons Chavez has so much influence around the world is our ongoing dependence on foreign oil. No disclosure, Giuliani, 62, has been active in business since leaving office at the end of 2001, making speeches, running a security consulting company and an investment bank, and joining the Houston-based law firm. He hasn't yet had to file public disclosures of his client lists, income, or holdings, folks. The U.S. State Department said in May that Venezuela was not fully cooperating with counterterrorism efforts, and the U.S. government banned arms sales to the country. Citgo has been fully owned by Venezuela's national oil company, Petróleos de Venezuela, since 1990, Chavez, 52, who earlier this year won the authority to supersede the Venezuelan's legislature, has the power to appoint and fire top executives and set policy for the company. Citgo spokesman David McCullum said the company supplies Citgo with crude oil to refine and sell. We do pay dividends to pay them as any subsidiary does to its parent company, he said. Venezuela is the third largest oil producer in OPEC. Texas Ethics Commission filing shows Citgo paid Bracewell and Giuliani between $75,000 and $150,000 in 2005-06 and will pay an additional $50,000 to $100,000 this year. The firm monitors such issues as environmental regulation and taxes, Oxford said. I'm telling you, Giuliani is not clean, folks. Bracewell and Patterson, the predecessor firm to Bracewell and Giuliani, did legal work for the company in the 1990s before Chavez came to power, and for Citgo before Giuliani arrived in 2005, Oxford said. Oxford called Citgo an old-time U.S. company, saying it pays U.S. taxes, employs 5,000 people in the U.S., mainly in Texas. In September, 7-Eleven Inc., which once owned Citgo, dropped the oil company as its gasoline supplier, citing in part Chavez's hostile rhetoric toward the U.S., and it just goes on and on and on. The question, Fowler said, is how Rudy reconciles his heroic role as mayor of a devastated New York with the less appealing image of the corporate shill. Giuliani has forged his post-September 11th persona with such acts as rejecting a $10 million contribution for disaster relief from Saudi Prince Alwid bin Talal bin Abdul Aziz after the prince said the U.S. should adopt a more balanced stand toward the Palestinian cause. A Richmond Times Dispatch editorial last month contrasted Giuliani's gesture with former U.S. Representative Joseph Kennedy II, son of the late U.S. Robert Kennedy, and president of the nonprofit Citizens Energy Corp. Kennedy has appeared in television commercials thanking Venezuela for providing discounted oil to heat homes of low-income U.S. residents. The February 15th editorial reminded readers that Giuliani scorned money he considered tainted, supposedly. Like I said, there's a lot to Giuliani that we're not aware of, and it'll come out if he continues to go on. The reporters will dig deeper, hopefully, and we'll find out more about Giuliani. Giuliani will not be the nominee, I don't think. He's too liberal for conservatives on the Republican side, and I think there's too much tainted stuff going on in all of the dealings he had because of 9/11 and on, and I don't trust him. I think there's something going on, and it remains to be seen, doesn't it, folks? All right, we're coming up to about 11 and a half minutes before the top of our second hour. Right, Samantha? She says right. And we have not done this, so Samantha says we need to do this. So let's do it.
Wolf Swackies, Wolf Swackies. It's Wolf Swackies Stories.
All right, a Wolf Swackies. We skipped the first hour, but this is a good one. Police rescue 91-year-old man glued to his roof. From Berlin, a 91-year-old German sparked a rescue operation when he slipped mending his roof, got stuck fast in tar like a beetle on its back, police said on Tuesday. Passersby were so shocked to see an elderly handyman working on the roof, they first thought he was planning to commit suicide, according to police in the eastern city of Mattelburg. In fact, he was just recoating the roofing with bitumen, but then he slipped, said a spokesman for police. When we got there, he was like a beetle on its back, with his arms and legs sprawled out, completely glued to the roof, he added. Due to his age, he couldn't free himself from his unfortunate situation. Local firemen carefully detached the man using ropes and ladders. He was unharmed, but had sticky clothes, police said. Police rescued 91-year-old man after he accidentally glues himself to the roof of a house. And that's the Wolf's Wackies here on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, unshaven, uncorked, unglued, but totally assembled. It's Jeff Allen Wolf with a huge dose of common sense for you.
And back with you. Okay. You just picture this guy on his back, on the roof, flailing about. I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny. And, you know, 91-year-old man, poor guy. And, you know, anybody, 20, 90, whatever, you're on your back and you're trying to free yourself and you look like a beetle. They said they thought he was trying to commit suicide. He looked like a giant beetle. That's sad. When they think you're a beetle, you know it's time for you to give up, you know. Don't be a beetle. You shouldn't be a beetle, folks. It is against the law to be a beetle. That's what I say. This came over the wire services. Israel is not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. Israel is not enthusiastic about using military means to stop Iran's controversial nuclear program, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said on Wednesday. The central issue bothering Israel nowadays is Iran. Olmert's office quoted him as telling representatives of the American Jewish Council, I have said before and I still believe that we prefer a diplomatic solution to the issue. We are not enthusiastic about a military solution, he said during the meeting in Jerusalem. Believed to be the region's soul, if undeclared nuclear power, Israel has accused Iran of trying to make an atomic bomb under the guise of a civilian nuclear program, a charge Tehran, of course, denies. Israel considers Iran's nuclear program to be an existential threat after its hardline President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad repeatedly called for the Jewish state to be wiped off the map. Olmert has in the past said Israel did not rule out taking military steps against Iran. Also Wednesday, ultra-nationalist Minister for Strategic Affairs Avigdor Lieberman accused European leaders of willing to sacrifice the Jewish state to preserve economic ties with Tehran. There are elements in Europe that are ready to sacrifice Israel on the altar of their security of their trade contracts with Iran, Lieberman said. We saw the same phenomenon before World War II. That is how they sacrificed Czechoslovakia. That is how they ignored the Jewish problem, he said, referring to when European powers allowed Nazi Germany to annex areas in Central Europe on the eve of World War II. I can see no other explanation to the opposition of some elements in Europe to imposing severe sanctions against Iran, he told public radio. Six world powers, the permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany, of course, came up with sanctions. We talked about that earlier in the day. The Security Council slapped a first round of sanctions on Iran in December. They just announced new sanctions. So Israel saying they're not looking to strike Iran. They don't want military action. It's on the table, but they'd rather have diplomatic sanctions first. So, good. All right, we're coming up to the end of our second hour. Don't forget, you can email us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. WOLF. packtalk@yahoo.com. You can join the Wolfpack 300. That's the fan club for the show. The Golden 300, the first group of loyal listeners. We're going to put you on our web page. We have a web page for yourself with your first name, your city and state you represent, the country if you're outside the United States. And eventually we'll get pictures of everyone up there. That'll be fun. And just a very laid-back thing, a tribute, a salute to the loyal listeners of this show and the loyal listeners of Progressive Talk Radio. If you like Progressive Talk Radio, then please, if you like this show, join the Wolfpack 300. It's free. Just have to send us an email and give us all the pertinent information, and you're in. We're not going to put you in. We would appreciate you requested it because we don't want to assume that you want to be part of something without asking you. Also, we have the book called Moments. It's a beautiful 300-page, oversized coffee tabletop book. The Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs, Hal Buell, foreword by David Halbertson, two award-winning journalists. David Halbertson won the Pulitzer Prize for Literature, 13 fantastic books. And it is black and white and color photographs of all the Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs over the years for 63 years, from 1942 to 2005. We're giving away one copy of that book to one lucky Wolfpack listener. You write us an email, you put in your subject line, photographic book, photo book, Pulitzer book, whatever you want to call it. And don't just say, enter me. And that's not going to be an official entry here. Want book. Me want book. Our Wolfpack audience is a little bit more intelligent than that, so please write in and tell us a little bit about yourself, city, state, the whole nine yards, your age range, how you found the show, what do you think about the show, comments on anything that's happening in the news, Bush, Iran, Iraq, Libby, Gonzalez. We want to hear your opinions. You know, a lot of you people who've entered before have sent emails to us and talked about the show and then entered, not just, hi, I want to enter. That's nice, but do a little work on your end, okay? Also, Walt K. Walt K. from Barre, Massachusetts. B-A-R-R-E. Fair, Massachusetts, 46 years old. You won the Saturday Night Live Uncensored History of the Television Show. And that's a 600-page book that we'll send out to you. Walt, send us an email. We'll send you an email letting you know that you won. And thanks for participating. That's about it for the second hour, folks. Stay tuned for our third hour. Don't forget, we are repeated, rebroadcast at night, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight, Eastern Standard Time. We're every Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Rebroadcast every Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, and that's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're also replayed on the weekends, and we're going to be having a new affiliate joining us, and we'll tell you about that once that becomes official. But unofficially, we have another affiliate that's going to be broadcasting us at different hours, so if you can't hear us 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 9 to 12, you'll be able to hear us at different hours, and we'll give you all the times how to reach us. We're gonna make sure we're covered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, folks. So somewhere, somehow, you'll get to hear us, even if you can't tune in at a regular hour. Okay, fair enough. Okay, for Samantha, my producer here in the new studio, Natasha. Stay tuned for the third hour, and Dave and Maverick and all the rest. You, the Wolfpack listeners, don't go away. We got a lot more coming up in the third hour. A lot of things to talk about, as always. Email us, email us, email us, email us, email us, email us. How's that? We want you to be part of the show. And we exist and we get excited and we get hyped up and energized when you send your emails in. And come on, enter in for this book. This book is gorgeous. It's a heavy book, folks. Looking forward to giving it to one of the Wolfpack listeners who will truly appreciate this book, who's a lover of photography, a lover of journalism, a lover of award-winning photography that will move you and bring out emotions from you when you see these photographs, Iwo Jima, Iraq, Babe Ruth, you name it, all the big events, the presidential assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan, all the big Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs are in here, and I'm giving it away. All right. That's it, Samantha. She says, that's it. She says, stay tuned. Thank you, Samantha. More with the show. I remain unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but a whole lot of common sense. We're coming back for our third hour here from America's liberal voice. Nobody does it better. The Head On Radio Network and moi, Jeff Allen Wolf. Rejoin us in the Wolf's Den, Wolfpack listeners, right after these words.
Now you don't have to look no further, and you don't have to cry no more, and you don't ever have to be alone.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gonzalez in trouble as tide turns against Team Texas. Panel okay subpoenas an attorney probe. For wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects healthcare proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters' events. Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt, due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number 3 says he's planned 9/11 and a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf.